right here at the Breakfast Club, and delighted beyond words to have Chip Davis with us here on the program this morning. Did you know that song after you heard it?
No, I didn't, but I was a big Perry Como fan.
You know, I had a chance to interview him not long before his wife passed away, and then after that, he kind of kept to himself. But what a cool dude. He's one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember, I think, didn't he do Three Coins in a Fountain?
He did do a version of that, yep.
Yeah. I remember that being a kid and hearing that and thinking, oh, this is cool stuff.
Yeah, it is cool. You know what? It's all cool. Your stuff's the coolest, though.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate having you. Before we do anything, though, I want to talk about these books. I've got the trilogy in front of me in the box. This is really pretty attractive little package here.
Oh, yeah, the box set. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. The Wolf and the Warlander. Those of you that know Chip or who have followed him have been a fan since the Fresh Air days like me and into what he's done in his career. Chip's offered several selections for kids and young adults, and this is a really cool trilogy. Tell folks about it.
Yeah, first off, The Wolf and the Warlander being the title.
Yep.
is about a wolf. I have two timber wolves, and I have two Warlander horses. And one of the wolves and one of the horses, the white wolf that's on the cover of the box set, his name is Seti, which is an Egyptian name.
Okay.
And Ghost, his buddy, chasing behind him, they're both 8 years old, and they grew up on my farm here outside of Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And they play together, you know, and I was watching them play and just started thinking, wonder what, you know, a wolf and a horse, just crazy.
Yeah.
And so I started wondering, what are they thinking about? So we started kind of making up some story ideas that just, you know, whether they are or not, it just was kind of a neat idea, you know, to just see what, you know, it could be. Another cool thing, and it starts off at the very beginning, is Ghost, the Warlander horse, is a crossbreed between a Frisian, which is a big...
big horse.
Big North German draft horse.
Yeah.
And so I had the pleasure a couple of times to go to Neuschwanstein Castle and in Austria, and I was taken up there on a cart with one of these big draft horses. It was a big Frisian. And, you know, taken across the drawbridge and the whole deal. And I got imagining that, you know, Wagner would have been probably doing that because he was writing music for them.
Sure.
Then. And I got picturing, so that's why when it starts, it's like the starting of the book is like Wagner being taken to work, being pulled by one of these big draft horses, which is fictitiously is a relative of Ghost.
Nice. The Wolf and the Warlander. It's available now, right? If folks want to add this to maybe a gift for a young person in their life.
Yes, and in fact, it's available in three versions.
Oh.
We've got the box set, which you're looking at, which is really cool. The packaging. One of my art director here at the company did it, and I was just thrilled with what he did. But there's also a digital version that's available on Amazon.com and also on Kindle.com. And then there's Audible versions in which the book is actually read to you. It's on iTunes.
How long did it take you and Mark to actually complete the three volumes?
I'd say it was easily a year, maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
And we'd go down to my place in the Keys and sit out in my tiki hut, and we'd kind of dream up like some story points around coffee in the morning, sitting outside by the water.
Yeah.
And then we'd go have lunch and then come back and mess around with it a little more and then kind of let it go. And then we made several trips back and forth to get it done.
Yeah.
And then I'd come up with kind of the story points, ideas, knowing, you know, what my wolf and Warlander are like. And then Mark would write it into novel form. So,
nice.
You know, we had a really, I'll tell you what, when the project got done, we were both really sad. We were having such a great time.
Sure. I'd come up with another trilogy real quick so you can do that Keys thing again.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, The Wolf and the Warlander, add that. And if you go to the Mannheim Steamroller website, you'll see other things that that Chip has been involved with and created, and things that are available for you to purchase, and things that you should just learn. The one thing I've learned about Chip over the years of interviewing him, and it's been a long time, even when he's sleeping, he's still thinking about stuff.
You know that there's that piece on Fresh Air 3 called Mirror Image?
Yes.
I actually did write that in my sleep.
Did you really?
Yes. I got up. I was dreaming it, and I got up, and I woke up, and I thought, this is too good to not write down. And I went and grabbed some staff paper and started sketching down the melody and the chord changes and all that. No.
Are you in the midst of all of this, and I know you were telling me before we went on the air, you're getting the teams ready to get on the road with the Christmas tour. In fact, it comes to Colorado Springs and just north of Denver here in Loveland next week. But are in between all that, you still write a little music? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm ahead of myself. I have a new release that we're just now releasing called Exotic Spaces.
Oh.
And it's a CD, and it is about exotic places, you know, like the pyramids and the Taj Mahal and things like that. And so I used indigenous instruments from those places to actually perform the pieces, and I tried to figure out how back in time these ancient instruments might have been used. So I just was kind of using my, you know, my basic musical gut sense.
Yeah.
But kind of the coolest one, and it was, I'm a scuba diver.
Yeah.
And I had been diving and started listening to whale songs off the coast of Hawaii. And I have a pair of Navy-grade hydrophones to record underwater. And I had recorded these whale songs. And I took one of the main whale songs and actually wrote the accompaniment around the whale. The whale was like playing the leading role, and then I did the accompaniment to go with it, and that also is on Exotic Spaces.
Oh, all right. That'll be soon a part of the Crandall collection here in the Mahi City. You know, I've told you this before, but every time I go on vacation and I'm near water, the first song I listen to is Come Home to the Sea.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I just can't be near any body of water without hearing that. It's just perfect.
That piece has really withstood the test of time. I mean, it's still very, very popular among the fans.
And I want people here to know, too, because back a few years ago, after there had been that really bad series of wildfires up in Yellowstone.
Yeah. In 88.
Yeah, and you did the Yellowstone Project some of my favorite music on that collection. But you raised a lot of money for them and really helped them out, and I know it meant a great deal to them.
Well, we did concerts for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, not year-round because right. We got our other stuff, but we did summer concerts for 3 years, and I raised over $3 million for them.
Yeah.
And so that was a very cool thing, but I'll tell you what, the coolest thing selfishly was for me to get to go visit the park a lot of different times to get inspiration, and I took a couple of my crew up there, and we had a mobile home, and we just drove around, shot video, you know, recorded sounds. Tried to get, you know, get some inspiration as to what music to use. Some of it I wrote original, and some of I used that was classical.
Wow. All right. So next life, I'll be you. Tell me this. There are a lot of...
It's exhausting, by the way. Just saying, going into it.
there are a lot of people like me who are just insanely passionate about Fresh Air, right? I mean, you know that. I mean, the whole series and what it meant to people, and that you know, to hear that music being produced that way. I know record shops were playing the stuff in the early Fresh Air days. I mean, that gang is still around, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, when we're doing our concerts, I started getting maybe 2 years ago requests of like, hey, do you still play any Fresh Air music? Because we were fans of that before we were Christmas.
Sure.
And so I have inserted like a 20-minute segment of Fresh Air in the show.
Nice. That's good. All right. So another reason you guys need to buy tickets for the show next week. Now, one of my favorite little pieces of random trivia about your Christmas music, Silent Night, which my dear mom passed a few years ago, but it was her most favorite Christmas song she ever heard.
Yeah.
And you were kind enough to send me a signed copy of the sheet music of Silent Night, which hangs in my house
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
But I love the little trivia that you told me once about the sleigh bells at the end of the song.
Yes. They were on my horse, Mac.
Yeah.
McKeever. Yeah. We wanted the sleigh bells to sound realistic. And, you know, we had like horse sleigh bells. And you pick them up and you try to make them jingle. And it didn't sound right. And so I went and got one of my horses and we put it on him. We put him on like on a hot walker and had him going around in circles and we mic'd him from the center. And that's what gave that nice panning sound.
Sure. That's awesome. Every time I hear the record, I think of Mac. So much for Franz Gruber. I'm thinking of your horse.
Hey, by the way, hanging in the barn is a gold record with his name.
That's perfect. That is perfect. Well, listen, I have been looking forward to this for a while. You know, when you hear that you are the number one Christmas music artist in history, is that a cool thing? Because that means you were, you know, professionally successful, of course. But I mean, does that mean a lot?
Absolutely. When there's that many people that are buying my music to want to include it in their family holiday traditions, it's like, how much more flattering can it get?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you'll be a big part of the season again. It's already here a lot of places, and I hope this year as part of the season, people will spend their money on The Wolf and the Warlander for the young people in their lives, a great trilogy. And Chip, you're the best, my friend. I really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks, Rick. I sure appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk later.